Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hi there, Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls today on New Life. It's a great day. We rarely have the three of us together, but today the boys are in.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
I went through her room. I found bottles of alcohol under her bed and in her closet.
I went in and loaded my pistol, and I sat down in the office, and I just started contemplating everything I've been through.
You know, the Bible does say honor your parents, and the New Testament tells us specifically a lot of ways to do that. But it doesn't say obey them. It says very specifically, for example, in Ephesians, children, obey your parents. Everybody's to honor your parents, but if you are an adult and you are obeying your parents, then you have not graduated yet.
You're not an adult.
You're not an adult yet. And the New Testament is oh so clear about that.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
everybody.
Good to be back, you know?
Always.
Kind of, I think this is kind of celebrating our 25th year, getting the three of us back together, because we rarely ever are in the studio, but it's great to be with you. We did two shows before this. We didn't offend too many people, I don't think. I don't know.
What's average?
Average, we offend approximately 47 people a day.
So we had 43 today? No, that's not too many.
You guys remember when that lady called and said that she had been shot in the head? Do you remember that?
Like it was yesterday.
That was the most bizarre call I think we've ever had. Because we were talking to somebody that had been shot in the head. I mean, you know, how...
Not why she called.
Yeah, that's not why she called.
Yeah,
she called because it was time to do something about her husband.
I've been thinking about this. Should I set boundaries with my husband?
Yeah. That was why she called.
That's why she called.
You know. Yeah.
And we'd say, well, what kind of stuff does he do? Well, he shot me in the head. Well, maybe time for some boundaries.
We thought if you could entertain the idea.
Shot me in the head. Kind of like that. And then that's when you two guys hit the floor.
We were not. We were compassionate.
Yeah, we were. And then, you know, there's this thing called chief enabler in a family. That woman, what would she? She'd be like chief executive enabler or
something. Tribe leader.
She would be.
She's way above the chief.
Denominational leader. I mean, that was incredible. Really amazing. And we have had some really amazing calls over the years. And it's always been good. Let's do it another at least 15. Actually, I think I'm only down for another 10. They'd like me to move on after that. So
who's they? Not the listening audience.
No, the board.
Now the listening audience has been crying for that for a long time to get rid of all of us. But the board said 10 more years.
Yeah.
Now why do they think 10 years, Steve?
Well, there recently have been some organizations that have not done well in that kind of transition from founder to ongoing. So we're just, we're doing a succession plan that we think makes a lot of sense. And we're doing it now so that when the time comes, there's no question, no... anyway, so other people's failures have helped this organization. Mm-hmm. And we're ready to do this for another 50 years or 100 years or whatever. So, but in 100 years, I don't know, there are going to be little radios. By then, you'll probably have little things in your head. And you won't even need to talk anymore or something. I don't know. But we're ready to move
forward. Pretty close to that now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of funny you think about it. You know, for a long time, this field has really worked on trying to get rid of the voices in people's heads. And now technology is trying to create them.
It's
Isn't
true.
That, yeah. Is that ironic?
It used to be trying to not obstruct your vision. Now you've got little glasses that give you stuff to do.
That's right.
While you're walking along with your vision obstructed. All right,
we're redefining crazy.
We are. Do you hear voices in your head? Oh, well, that's normal because you've got that chip.
If you don't hear them, you've got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, go see your therapist. I'm not hearing voices anymore. What's the problem?
You don't see your therapist, you call Verizon. Yeah, I'm not here.
No need for counselors.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. That's good. We'll be back right after this. Two years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more. Then, from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
Call Gill Travel at 1-800-223-3855. You can also get that off of our website. Ask for Donna.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls today. Let's go and talk with one of our fabulous, fun-filled callers. Let's go to Ike from San Mateo, California. Hello, Ike. How you doing?
Okay, yourself?
Quite well, thank you. How could we help you today? What's going on? Anything we can do for you?
I got a dear mother-in-law who lives about, he lives in San Francisco, about a 30-mile drive from here.
You have a mother-in-law?
Yeah, she lives in San Francisco, so not too close, but she likes to habitually call her children pretty much every day or every other day, pretty much on a controlling basis about, okay, what you're doing, this and that. Just, I hate to say nagging, but just nosy, prying into our businesses. Oh, how's your children doing at school? You shouldn't be spending money. You shouldn't be traveling, this and that and all that.
Wow.
And so whenever we travel, we wouldn't tell her till we come back. Say, Mom, we just went to whatever place and all that. And she, you know, she's a nice mother and all, but just have a lot of time in her life.
Okay.
Just a lot of time. Just a lot of time. And so I guess she doesn't have much friends, so she relies on, I guess, her sibling or her children.
Her children. Yeah.
Same. Correct.
So, Ike, how many conversations have you and your wife had with Mom about this?
Oh, many times. So every time when the phone call comes, I would say, it's your mother. You know what I'm saying? It's your mother.
No. That wasn't my
not
question.
Not how many conversations have you had. It sounds like you got more of those than you want.
Ike, the question was, how many conversations have either you or your wife or your wife's siblings had talking to Mom about this? Not talking about
her,
but
to her. Oh, we have. We have.
And what happened?
What did you tell her?
She ignores us.
What did you tell her?
We said that, you know, we're old enough, we're adults now, and we can handle ourselves and all that. I said, thank you for your concern. You know, if we need anything or need any assistance from you, we'll give you a call. But otherwise, you know, we do have a life of our own.
Yeah.
If we need you, we'll call you. That's good.
And so
what did she say?
You know, I think she has a hard of hearing or something.
Oh,
goodness,
gosh.
Goodness.
Well, what's your question?
How do I respect my elderly?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And even my wife, because it's, you know, my wife's mom.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, because I said that, you know, the Bible is very distinctly said that when you get married, you uncleave, right?
Right, leave and cleave.
You know, I said, remember, you know, I live with you. I don't live with your mother. You know that type of situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so I wanted to know, what's the best way not to get frustrated with my wife? It's your mother again.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you and your wife on the same page with this?
Pretty much so, but because I think my wife loves her mom a lot.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, that's the way she is and all that. You know that type of stuff? She knows my frustration.
Okay. Here's one way to think about it. One way to think about it is for you and your wife to sit down, and I would think it'd be a very good idea for you guys to sit down with a pastor. Mm-hmm. Who believes in leaving and cleaving, as well as believes the other side of it, that the Bible says we do have a responsibility to our parents as they age. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's not like leave and cleave and never talk to them again. In fact, Correct. It's the opposite. We're supposed to help them, right?
Correct.
So
yeah.
I would go talk to a good pastor that believes in a balanced deal and just put your story out there. Mm-hmm. And then that way, come up with a plan. And generally speaking, you know, in the absence of a structure, what's going to happen is the dysfunction is going to fill up the space, you know, because nature abhors a vacuum, right? And so if you and your wife agreed on, you know, we're going to go visit her and have lunch once a week or once a month, or I don't know how close she is.
Yeah,
but
30 miles.
You know, or call her a couple times a week or have some sort of a structure and then sat down with her. And you said, you know, life is crazy. We got a lot of stuff going on right now. But we want to make sure that we have time and talk to you. And here's what works for us. And just talk to her about that. And then if she agrees or doesn't agree, that's what you guys are going to empathically do. And then you have a plan. And so when she calls, you can remind her or just not answer or whatever. Remind her and say, you know, we talked yesterday and... or we're having lunch on Friday, we can talk about it then. You've got some kind of agreed upon thing, especially for you and your wife, to fall back on.
Let's send him how to have that difficult conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, why don't we send him The Mom Factor? Because that's what that book is about.
There you go. Yeah.
And it'll give you very, very, very outlined ways of honoring and respecting your mother-in-law, and at the same time doing what you guys need to do for your life.
And what a sad thing that this is the life that the mother-in-law has. You know, I mean, you really have to have compassion on someone that can't let go and let them live their life. All right. Glad that you called. We'll send that to you. It's The Mom Factor, and that and any of the other resources that we created are available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. You just go on there and... do a little search and find out what it is that you need for whatever need that you have. All right, let's talk with Karen from Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Listens online. Hello, Karen.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
Yes, I was wondering if you guys are familiar with EMDR therapy, mm-hmm. and if you are, what your opinion is of it, and I would, I'm curious, I'm thinking of trying it to heal from past spiritual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
From past spiritual abuse? Like what kind?
Well, I've been out of this group for almost 10 years now, but I was brought up, I'm 47 years old, and I was brought up in a very strict legalistic religious system that was very controlling and authoritative.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of trauma and abuse from that in the past. But I've been out now almost 10 years, and I've done a lot of healing. I've read a lot of you guys' books. I've done a lot of Al-Anon. And even though I've done all that and I feel that I've healed a lot, I still have triggers. Like certain things will trigger me.
Well, here's something I'll ask.
And what happens when you're triggered?
Well, I move away from it. Like I won't stay near that what's triggering me because I feel like my mind can't hardly handle the trigger.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Sure.
Here's a question for John. Have you ever known anybody that used this technique to deal with trauma or abuse that came out worse after having it done?
Well, there part of what EMDR does is it has people, you know, pull up the painful stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it is a technique where a therapist moves their fingers back and forth across your optic ranges, and what that does is as your eyes follow it, it hooks both parts of your brain, so it's a bilateral kind of stimulation, and. At least the last thinking I know about this is that part of what happens with trauma is that it gets, and this is a gross oversimplification, but it sort of gets clogged up on one side of the brain.
Right.
It can't move through what's called the amygdala gap or gate. And so one of the things that stimulating both sides of the brain does, while at the same time recalling a trauma, is that they think that it helps it to process through the brain, sort of like Drano, you know, it sort of clogs, unclogs everything, and then the brain can do what it normally does with trauma. So that's kind of, you know, a gross oversimplification of how it works. Now, with that, Steve, the fact that sometimes PTSD can be so severe that the last thing you want somebody with severe PTSD to do at certain junctures is to recall it. Now, it's very helpful for some people, but some people, the flooding is dangerous. And so in answer to your question, it's indicated sometimes, especially for trauma victims, it can be helpful. But I personally don't think that it is any kind of cure-all by itself.
Yeah.
You know, I think if with flashbacks and PTSD stuff, you know, it's been shown to be effective. But Karen, we would want you in an integrative, you know, if it was up to us, some sort of integrated, holistic plan where you're getting deep relational experiences, especially from spiritual abuse, deep relational experiences that are healing, because God's ways of healing people through his body and through his word and his spirit and all the ways in which the Bible talks about that God heals us, we would want to see anything like EMDR, anything else, you know, a little piece that you try as a technique in an otherwise very full menu of what the New Testament and the best of psychology, you know, would tell you is healing.
Does that make sense, like that. Karen? Does that make
Absolutely.
Sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What I've found, though, is, I mean, I was raised in the church. I was raised in that system. And when I got out, I stayed with God. I didn't leave God, but I traveled around and visited all these different churches because up to that point, I wasn't allowed to go outside of that denomination.
Wow.
And I found a lot of compassion in the body of Christ. I've learned a lot of things. But not everybody in the body of Christ understands trauma like this.
Absolutely.
They don't understand,
in
you
fact,
know, when we've been controlled most of our lives and told what to wear and,
yeah,
and how
exactly.
to act. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's why I would also want you in a group of people that were recovering from similar kinds of dynamics, either in families or in spiritual families or something like that, where other people can understand that you've got these controlling, hardwired parts of you that have been laid down. You know, David said this in the Psalms. He said that they dug rows in my back when I was a youth. And if you've ever been on a farm and, you know, you dig the rows and then the sun bakes it and they're just in there. And what happens is in formative years, patterns get roasted into our brain. And it takes new experiences to rewire those. And that's why the Bible always tells us that we got to get around a community that can re-raise us.
The only exception to any of this might be, Karen, if you've already had a lot of process experience, and psychologists call it ego strength, where you've done a lot of work and who you are inside is really resilient and you can handle stress and you're connected to other people. Sometimes you can go in and get a technique like that because all the other work's been done. Yeah. But most of the time it takes other stuff to
and
whole framework.
And Karen, a lot of times, you know, a good therapist that does EMDR also does all the other things we're talking about.
Right.
So it's not like you just go through a car wash.
Yeah.
You're in a relationship, they're exploring your life, you're working on dynamics, and so broadly speaking, it can be helpful. But it wouldn't be the whole answer for everything that you've gone through.
All right. Now, have you read Toxic Faith, Karen?
Yes, I've read a whole bunch of you guys' stuff.
Okay.
Have you read 12 Christian Beliefs That Can Drive You Crazy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you read More Jesus, Less Religion?
Yes. yeah, I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I got on a website that was called, I'm not sure if I should say this, but it was a website to help people recover from spiritual abuse, and the lady that oversees that site has a bunch of your stuff listed as resources.
Oh, cool. Good. Okay.
Yeah, so I've read a lot of your books, yeah.
All right, well, what do our books say? Our books say to sit down with other strugglers and love each other and show each other different ways, the ways out of the Bible,
yeah,
instead of the goofy ways that
right.
this other spiritual family put into your soul.
Okay. I'm going to send you a Spiritual Renewal Bible, and I hope that that'll be a great blessing
send her
to
something
you.
You haven't written yet, Steve. I think that's the only thing that Karen hasn't read.
Is what I have not.
Better yet, get Karen to send it to you. Then you won't have to write it.
That's a good way to go. I like that very much. Okay, well, that was really a great, great little, I don't know what you'd call it, monologue or diatribe or something like that on
obviously too long.
EMDR. No, not too long. It was really very thorough and long. But I thought it was good. I thought it was really good. And we'll put that on, in the archives, so when people ask about it, I mean, I think that's about as good as it gets right there. So, if you have PTSD and need EMDR, you go to newlife.com. We got an answer
ASAP.
For you. ASAP.
Or 1-800.
New Life. All right. Hey, we love
that.
You. We care about you. It's middle of December, and we need your help. Would you please support this program? Because what you do now really determines everything we do next year. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Okay. We're very much back here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, Steve Arterburn. I got an ad-lib question for you guys as you're signing birthday cards while we're on television.
And you know what? We're signing birthday cards, actually, to some of our supporters.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because we care about you.
We really appreciate your help.
And if you can support us in a great way or a small way. Maybe we can send you a birthday card, too. Anyway, somebody says to you, why do you continue to do what you do? What would your answer be?
Because I'm obsessive compulsive and I have no choice? No, I'm kidding.
No.
What do you mean, why you continue to do what you do?
Why do you do it?
Why do humans do what they do?
Yeah, some people go into counseling and then they end up leaving counseling. And
are you talking about professionally, why do we do it?
Yeah, why do you do what you do?
The fields we're in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I got it.
Why
I
do you do it?
You meant,
Why does everybody do it, or why do we do what
why
we do?
Why do you personally continue to do what you do? And it could be an inspiration to a young person listening about maybe wanting to get into this.
I have a little model I use for that for me and anybody I work with. It's a three-part thing I always go into. One is meaning. Like, does it make the planet better to have a good paperclip or a good
meaning,
counselor or whatever?
Yeah.
You'd make a bad paperclip, so I'm glad you're...
Did not go that way. The second one is skill. You know, are you good? Are you talented? Do you bear good fruit? And then the third one is passion. Because if you're going to do something for a long time, you really would help to enjoy it and lose time with it and that sort of thing. And they kind of...
You have all three of those.
Fit.
Yeah. You have can you top that? Or equal it?
No. Okay. It would be... I mean, sort of a different way of summarizing similar things. I like to think of it in terms of wherever our gifts and our passions intersect a real need equals probably a helpful thing to do, but may even equal a calling.
Yeah.
There you go.
Either vocationally or avocationally. And so many things that I would be horrible at. But a long time ago, I found that I really love this whole world of thinking about life and the Bible and psychological issues and the, you know, the science of all that, as well as the human interaction and helping. And I like to see people grow. I just love to see people grow.
No, it's amazing.
That's the coolest thing, to see God grow people. And that's really why I went into this field instead of some other areas of ministry.
Golf.
Because what I like to see was you know, people change. And so I kind of just – it's for me, it's like going and watching a great sport.
Well, I tell you, I think there's nothing more valuable that I've experienced than our marriage weekends and to see these couples that were absolutely hopeless. This is their Hail Mary pass, and to see them – come back together. And you know, you mentioned meaning, John, and I when people are evaluating what they're going to do, my question is, what do you want the message of your life to be? Your message might be, I was the most financially responsible corporate accountant, you know, that might be my message, that you work hard. And then, you know, what is it that's meaningful to you? So what's your message going to be? What's meaningful? And does it produce the magic? And I know you guys know what I'm talking about on the magic part. You have these moments that you just can't imagine how doing anything other than what you're doing could produce a moment like that where it just all comes together for you. And I'm just grateful that people have supported us to let us do this. So thank you. Thank you very much.
I've been working on a book on this whole thing about how to find that. And Henry mentioned something about sometimes you can make a living at it, sometimes you can't. For some people, if you're working, I don't know, producing on an assembly line with a car, and you're the guy with the widget that's got to turn that, you want to do your best at that.
Right.
But you may get that sense of help and meaning, even though you're providing for your family. You might have to get that in other ways, like a service organization, helping domestic violence
shelters.
Stevens
Ministry.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's got to happen one way or the other, or you just can't feel okay about life.
Right. All right.
I talked to a guy last week in the insurance business. And he is a volunteer fireman.
I love that.
And that's his passion and his ministry. And he loves his work as well. But you know,
just so there's no conflict of interest, you know.
I don't know if
this thing ought to burn down or not. Maybe just let this one go here because the policy.
I think they are. It would be in their interest to stop.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But we don't read a lot in the New Testament about Paul as the tent maker.
Yeah, right.
We read about Paul's ministry.
There you go.
And I guess he was a tent maker, right? Mm-hmm. And we just don't hear about a lot of that. And the church, you know, it never... sound like you see a grand plan of being professional Christians... in the church, even though there are structures now and ways to do that. What God was always calling was a volunteer army. And so whether, like John says, we work in the helping professions or ministry full-time or work somewhere else, I happen to believe that the somewhere else is just as much ministry as anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody's on an assembly line making cars, that makes life work for people.
Yes, it does.
And God gave us an earth. He said, rule and subdue the earth. And people that are making window panes are keeping families warm at night.
Yeah.
You know, and everything should be done unto God because it's all part of making His creation work. So I think it's all ministry.
I want to give you an example about that when we come back from this break. But right now, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We really do want to help you. We'll be back.
I've had a weight problem my entire life. I learned to use food as something to comfort myself. Subconsciously, I was hoping for a magic wand. I had tried various things. I tried 12-step programs. None of those approaches were quite like what I heard at Lose It for Life.
At the Lose It for Life workshop, Steve Arterburn will teach you that it's not what you're eating that's putting on the weight, but what's eating you. And you'll have group sessions with a New Life group counselor to help you uncover and begin healing your past hurts.
My whole mentality completely shifted. I wasn't so concerned anymore about what I weighed. I was more concerned with making healthy choices.
The next Lose It for Life workshop is Friday, January 24th through the 26th in Orange County, California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. You don't have to be defined by what you weigh any longer. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My good friend Steve Arterburn and I agree on a lot of things, and one of them is the importance of a good marriage. Steve and the crew at New Life are on a campaign to strengthen marriages, to renew, refresh, and restore them to be what God intended for them to be. And I am 110% behind their efforts. That's why I want to encourage you to consider attending New Life's Marriage Weekend. Whether your marriage just needs a little refreshing, or you're on the verge of a divorce, this weekend can be exactly what you need. You don't want to miss it. There's no other conference like it. Call the good people at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. And talk to them about the upcoming New Life Marriage Weekend. Or check it out at newlife.com. Don't wait another minute. Do it now.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. The very first Every Man's Battle is going to occur January the 10th, 11th, and 12th, Washington, D.C. area. What a great way to start your year. And Lose It for Life. We do it once a year, not once a month, like Every Man's Battle. 24, 25, 26 of January, you can still get the early bird special. And then February 28th is our Healing is a Choice and Marriage Solution Weekend. Come and join us for one of these intensives. They do change lives. All right, let's go to Dave. He's a Club New Life member from Sacramento, California. KFAX is the station. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Henry, John, and Steve. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Good, thanks, Dave.
Yep. How could we help?
Well, thank you guys so much for taking my call. I've read many books from all of you guys, and I'm a big fan, and I just wish I could have an hour with you to run issues by.
Did you ever read The Angry Man?
No. Sound like I need to?
No, no one else did either. And it was the book Dave Stoop and I were writing while John and Henry were writing Boundaries. And I'm just still trying to look for people that are have read it. But no one has ever read it.
Yeah, haven't read it.
Okay. Well, Dave, how could we help you personally?
So my question, I was hoping to maybe get two questions answered.
Okay.
If not, that's okay. I actually suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm.
I was sexually abused by my father and physically abused by him for a number of years, and I've been working on this for a very long time.
Sorry, my friend.
I know, but this is what life has given me, so I got to work with it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that God has found me, and he's brought me a long way. I've overcame drugs and as a teenager, and have had a pretty successful life and career.
Wow.
I've been really interested in helping other men, and been able to be celibate for a long time. I'm single, never married.
Dave, in the interest of like the future and everything, was all this reported to the authorities when your father did
all
what he did?
All this has been reported, and I'm still seeing a therapist today. The struggle that I have, getting over traumatic stress, and so I liked the previous call, and I just wonder, is it possible, you know, can I do that?
Sure.
And
I say sure. I mean, I don't mean to devalue anything, but Dave, one of the things we know about traumatic stress is that people do get better when you get the right kind of help. Is it a new thing for you to start working on it?
I'm very type A. I want to see results. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do. This has not been an easy hurdle, you know. EMDR. I still see a therapist today. I've many, many years in therapy, yet I still get, you know, I'm still very much snagged and with traumatic stress.
Well, give us an example. When you say you have PTSD, what do you mean? What happens?
Well, I have a pretty severe form in that I can't remember who I am in terms of connecting to past experiences. Like, I love to surf. I love to snowboard. I have a graduate degree in molecular biology. And when I'm triggered, it's like all of that stuff is flushed down the toilet, and I can't connect it. And people will look at me, and they'll be like, oh, you know, who are you, and how are you? And I can't bring all of myself to the table. Does that make sense?
You can't literally remember it. You don't know your name and all those experiences, emotionally connect to it.
I think, you know, there are some memory issues in it, in that, I mean, obviously I know enough to function day in and day out. My name, you know, my street, my address, I can pay my bills. But in terms of, like, connecting to these experiences, it's almost as though they haven't happened, and sometimes I struggle. This is when I'm in a triggered state. There have been times where I get out of it.
Sure. Okay.
So then something triggers me, and it's like I really go way, way back down.
Right. And so what have you done specifically? You said you tried EMDR, and you've been in therapy. How has this been treated?
Well, I'm currently seeing a therapist. I've been in with him for 5 years, and it's just cognitive therapy where we're going and talking about, you know, different issues. And I struggle with him because I, like, go, wow, you know, you could potentially be helping me more, maybe do EMDR and so forth. But it's mostly talk therapy, talking about, you know, do you remember this experience? And, you know, what was this like? And it's just, you know, cognitive. I don't know if I'm giving you enough information, but.
Okay. Well, one thing that I'm hearing is that you're frustrated by the lack of progress that you're making. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And I guess a second question might be, should you be frustrated, or is this just the way life is for somebody who's been abused like that? Is that right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, you know, without knowing all the specifics, it would be hard to tell if you're getting, you know, everything that's helpful. But if you're feeling that way, the first thing to do would be to talk to your therapist about it and say, you know, I don't know if we're getting where we ought to be getting, and it feels like to me that I want more or something, and see what your therapist says about that. But a good thing, you know, to always do if either of you is feeling stuck is to get a consult or a second opinion.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That's what
I brought it up with him, and his whole thing is as well. You know, these are potentially issues that you and I need to work out, and, you know, it can really very much keep me in there, and it's like, this is part of the struggle, and I see and understand that. I've had those experiences before, but at the same time, I really want to maximize what I get there.
I just have an observation that 5 years is a long time to be with a clinician and feel like you're not going anywhere. Sometimes, you know, you need to be with a clinician 10 years. But
Dave, is it true that you don't feel like you're going anywhere, or is it just specifically?
No, I do make progress. I do get out of the triggers. But I would say it's mostly me talking. Like, if I just had a good friend I could do this with, I think I could probably make the same progress.
So when do you say that to your therapist?
I do.
And he says?
He's like, well, you know, this is part of it. It's all here. It's all together. And, you know, he – and I said, it's just a struggle. And I think, you know, a lot of people have ego and they don't want to say, you know, I said, it would be really helpful for me to say, if you think you can't help me anymore, try something else.
No, it's not like, it's not, there's a, when Henry was talking about the console, that's kind of the win-win for everybody. I mean, I have been in situations, Dave, where having the third party come in says, then is this a spot somebody's missing on the Dave side or the therapist side or in the relationship between you two? And that solves everything because some new piece of information came in. It's not a you're not enough to the therapist. It's we need another set of eyes on this. It's what radiologists do and oncologists do and cardiologists do.
And it's one of the things that is sort of ethics, you know, would lead us to do all the time.
After
you know,
5 years.
To always, always tell somebody, you know, if you're not thinking that you're getting what you're needing, I want to help you to find that and to get a second opinion to be supportive of that as well.
And then that person, that second opinion might say, you know, I've seen your case. I've looked over your history. And
you
Dave, you are right on track with what you're having to deal with, and then you get it. Or there's a missed a spot, or it's a bad fit. Mm-hmm. But there's any good therapist will always welcome that.
And if you get the second opinion and they say, hey, you're doing a good job, the therapist's probably doing a good job, and then you go back to the therapist and they say, I told you so, that's probably not a good sign. But that's probably not going to happen because
hey, Dave,
it's part of the healing process.
David, have you had a lot of work with the PTSD where there has been a lot of recalling and re-experiencing of the trauma?
I would say yes. I started doing EMDR in the early 90s when it was just starting to come out. With a guy who was trained by Shapiro, and that was, I was getting on EMDR because I was taking antidepressants and it helped me get off.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've kind of come, you know, way further down the road, and I'm just kind of, it seems like I'm kind of battling triggers and just getting a better grasp on my identity, you know?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, it's really complicated, but sometimes There is the post-traumatic stress part of it that has to do with the flashbacks and the hypervigilance and, you know, all of that. But then there are some triggers that trigger developmental dynamics that are not part of the PTSD, but that are part of how we're structurally put together, you know, in our relational and processing ways. And that's something else that therapy ought to be addressing.
And that's, I think that you've nailed that's where I'm at right now. It's the developmental stuff.
Well, that's a good thing to talk to your therapist about and maybe get a second opinion.
Okay.
We'll send you Henry's book, Changes That Heal, Dave, and you can talk to your therapist about that. It goes over the developmental stuff. The soil in which we are made, that God grows us up in, trauma is affected by that soil, by isolation or by lack of having your own voice and those sorts of things. And, and that's a huge issue. You can't solve PTSD outside of the context of your character issues.
You know, that is such a huge topic because sometimes people will throw terms around, you know, like there was a death in the family or they had abuse or this and the other. And that's a little bit like saying, you know, a tornado moved through the city.
Yeah.
There are some buildings that were able to withstand it the way they were constructed and had a lot of care and, you know, architecture put into them to be able to withstand that. And some were already hurting before it happened, and that's even worse.
And every tornado is different.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah.
Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person.
for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
These guys are making fun of me because when I was preaching,
no, we're saying
I was gonna,
you're lucky.
Preaching.
Right?
Yeah,
when
we
I,
admire you.
Okay. All right, let's go to...
Some things are best left in commercial breaks.
Yeah, no, I called my wife my mom when I was preaching, and it just, and then I said, whoa, Sigmund Freud, there you go. Okay, let's go to...
I told you it had been left in the commercial break better.
This final, is not going to go well.
Final call is a trucker named Kevin from San Marcos, Texas. KKHT is the station he listens to. Hello.
We love our truckers.
We do. Hello, Kevin.
How are we doing, guys?
Good,
we're
Kevin.
Good, man.
Hey, I always say this to the truckers. Thank you for making America work.
Yep.
And bringing us all the goods and services that we need.
We are thankful for you.
We're thankful that you guys keep buying. That's moving.
That's good.
Hard to buy it if it's not on the shelves.
How could we help you, my friend? Trucker Kevin.
I've got a woman I ran into, been helping out. I actually hired her, and she has been through a real brutal, abusive relationship, and I keep triggering bad things, and I'm trying to, I'm not sure how to relate to her better. I keep messing up and triggering
You say things or do things that trigger her bad memories?
Example, we got the same Bible, 1 year Bible, and I got her started going to church and stuff, and she wasn't familiar with the Bible, so I was sending her notes on what was happening. And like there was a session in there in Judges where the guy goes in and they dragged the woman out of the house and they raped her to death. And I put a little note in there, you know, this isn't right. You know, the guy should have stopped and defended his woman, blah, 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 blah. Well, that was threatening to her because I brought up her past.
Mm-hmm. Was it threatening that the Bible said it or that you addressed it?
Evidently that I brought it up.
Okay.
Made her think about her past.
Okay, I got a quick question. Are you married?
Been divorced for a long time.
Okay. And how do you, as a trucker, how does she work for you?
I started out, I needed someone to do internet research because I'm a hobby designer.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that was not going to be a lot of money. She had a place to stay at the time.
Okay.
And
now,
then,
all right, that makes sense. Now, are you involved with her romantically at all?
No.
She's strictly unemployed.
I'm not sexually with her at there was a little bit of time there. I thought, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have someone to come home to, but I've never wanted. Yeah, it'd be nice, but I'm not.
But you're not involved with her.
Okay.
Okay.
No.
So what is the question? How to not trigger things, or what is the exact question, Kevin?
I can't find any. Triggering things with her. How do I relate with her easier? Or is there a resource I can find? I can't find anything.
Well, is she getting any help?
I paid for her counselor, and her counselor basically told her that because she was having panic attacks for a while, and I found her a counselor. And because I asked her counselor to give me input on what I should do, you know, give her more work or less work or
the counselor told her that I was controlling an eagle, basically.
Hmm. Is she still seeing the counselor?
I don't think so, but that's personal business that I shouldn't know.
Did the counselor actually say you were evil? That's the word the counselor used?
Not that word, no, but she told her to get away from me because I was controlling.
Hmm. Does your friend experience you as controlling?
I told her right off the bat she should never do anything she didn't want to or feel pressured to do
anything. But the question, Dave, was what's her experience, not what your experience is.
I don't.
Has she ever said or intimated that you were controlling?
Yes, she has said that she thought I was controlling, but I couldn't understand what I was doing that was controlling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that is a key moment, okay, what you just said. Because what you are doing or not doing is what you're doing or not doing, but how it is experienced by her is either helpful or not helpful. And it's not an indictment one way or the other. And so especially if somebody's had an experience of having been controlled or abused, then if you're going to be a friend, you've got to submit to her pace and kind of what's helpful for her. And just say, you know what, I really want to help you, and I want to be your friend, and I don't know what's helpful to you and what's not, but I'm willing to take my cues from you. If you want me to totally bow out, if you want me to just, you know, I can help pay for some stuff, or if you want me to give you a job and I never talk to you, or if you want to have lunch every now and then or more or less or whatever, you tell me. And then let her be in control.
Mm-hmm. There are those occasions then where she might say, I don't know, I can't do this, and she gets overwhelmed, especially if her trauma issue is like really severe. And that's when you say, well, then I'll pay for some more sessions, where part of that is that the therapist says, okay, I'll be the referee. Cindy, here's what to tell Dave to do and not to do. But see what she says first.
And let me just throw this in, that this maybe might not have a thing to do with Dave, that this woman might not
absolutely
be able to relate to anybody.
It's her experience.
And, yeah. And so
and maybe in the beginning that the therapist is the only person that feels safe to her.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I'm glad you called.
Kevin, not
sorry,
Dave. Kevin. My mistake.
Yeah, my mistake, too. Kevin, I'm glad you called. And what would be good to help him in dealing with?
What about John's book, Loving People, or Safe People?
Yeah, either one of those. Where you kind of get out of your thought about how you're coming across, and you really engage their side.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do that. We'll send you Loving People. Hope that'll be a blessing to you. Anybody else? All the resources that John, Henry, myself have done are at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go on the website and let us know what you think of the programs, and if you need help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. But also, we really need your help. You know, this month is the most important month of giving that we have, and we're so grateful for all of the gifts that are coming in, and we would ask you here at year end to please consider a gift to New Life. You know, they always say where there's a will, there's a relative. And where you have a will, maybe you could think of including New Life in your will. And if you do, we'll still pray for your health and happiness. But anyway, you know, stock, some people give us crops, and all sorts of things people do to show support. And we're so very grateful for that. We all support New Life, and we hope that you will too. You can do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Well, guys, great to be with you. Really appreciate all that you do. And here we are, kind of closing up our 25th year, and pretty exciting to have been around. And I just appreciate you guys and all that you're doing. And you know, if you're interested in any of the stuff that John and Henry do in the area of leadership, and you just call us. We'll put you in touch with them, their websites. We've had a lot of people do our workshops and then do some of their leadership things, and it's a really nice compliment. So we'll send you there. Hey, have a great day today, and we'll see you here tomorrow doing this exact same thing again here on New Life Live. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.